This is 101.3, The Game. On the Vermont Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College, this is the Cat's Den. Now, here is your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? It is the Cat's Den. It is Tuesday. It's 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. We're your home for Catamount basketball, and we take you up to the Catamount basketball pregame show with Jake Marsh, who is live at Patrick Gym right now. We'll go to Jake for the pregame show at 6:40. As the Cats get ready to host the regular season finale, they are home against the Riverhawks of UMass Lowell. Catamounts 23-6, UMass Lowell 15-15. Again, we will take you up until 6:40. And then a special tip-off time today of 7:20. It is senior night. Catamounts will honor Ernie Duncan and Samuel Dingba. 102 wins for those two seniors in their career, the winningest class in Catamount history. Pretty amazing to think about it. When you look at how good the teams have been over the last few years, the bar just keeps getting set higher and higher and higher. And I want to start the show addressing a text message that we got in the huddle. Our texter, Matt, he texts in and he says, winning a senior class in history, what has that gotten them? Three losses in the NCAA tournament. Well, number one, if you're going to come with disrespect for the Cats, at least have your facts straight. The Cats have not lost three consecutive years in the NCAA tournament because they haven't been in the tournament in the last three consecutive years. They did get there a couple years ago losing to Purdue. They got to the NIT last year losing to Middle Tennessee State, and it's yet to be determined where they're going to end up this year. I understand why people look at the regular season accomplishment of UVM as empty. I do. I understand that people are all about instant gratification. They're all about justifying things, and they want to sit here and say, UVM needs to get to the tournament and win or the season is a failure. I understand people that think that. But if you're going to put that on the individual kids in the program, then you need to grow up and you're sadly misguided. And Matt texts in a lot, and I welcome you to text in all the time, and I welcome you to text in again right now. I disagree with your assessment. These players have continued to set the bar higher and higher. For them, the regular season is not a waste. For them, those 102 wins are not empty. They didn't need to be a common, or, you know, be paired with an NCAA tournament win or a Sweet 16 run. I have said all along, I would not change conferences if I were UVM until you prove you consistently can dominate. UVM has not proven that they can consistently dominate. Why? Because, as Matt alludes to, they haven't done anything to show you that they can consistently win the conference at the conference tournament level and then get to the tournament and produce. I agree with that. I don't think UVM should leave the America East because I think that they need to go on a run of prolonged success in the league like Gonzaga did, like Valparaiso did, like VCU did, and then they need to turn that into program success at the NCAA tournament level. However, to minimize what the players have done and to minimize the players who are busting their butt to make this program what it is and just say that what they've done for 4 years is a waste because they haven't won the tournament, that's ridiculous. I think even Arnie would agree that, and Arnie wants them to leave the America East. I think even Arnie would agree that, look, Arnie has higher goals for the program, has loftier goals for the program, but to sit here and minimize what the players have done is ridiculous. Ernie Duncan's a guy who has come in here and has built a family legacy at UVM where he's got his two brothers playing here, and he's been consistently a guy who can score you between 10, 14, 18, 22 points. And more importantly, maybe what it says than anything is that Ernie Duncan came from Evansville, Indiana, and wanted to come play at the University of Vermont. And as people, all people, me, Arnie, everybody else, want UVM to continue to grow, the fact that UVM is reaching a national landscape in recruiting that it's, you know, that it's had trouble reaching before in the generations before it, that is something to be proud of. And for Ernie Duncan to be at the forefront, for Sam Dingba to be at the forefront of an expanded recruiting base and a program that continues to get better and wins 102, I mean, we are not even through their fourth year, and they are already averaging 25 wins a season. How unbelievable is that? Whether you think that UVM is the greatest program since sliced bread, or you think that they are just beating up on a bunch of, they're swimming in the kiddie pool, 25 wins is 25 wins a year. And UVM's got a chance for, well, tonight would be 24, three wins in the tournament would be 27, and then postseason games, I mean, they got a chance to win 27, 28 games this year. And that deserves to be commended. And that is extremely impressive. And for Matt or anyone else to get in the text line and just say, hey, what Ernie Duncan and Sam Dingwa have done over the last 4 years is garbage, then I patently disagree with that. 802-655-6672. I do want to transition, though, into this. I am worried about UVM as we go into the playoffs. And I'm not saying that I think that UVM is going to get upset on their home floor. I'm not saying I think they're going to lose at the buzzer a la last year against UMBC. I'm just telling you that it feels different right now than it felt a month ago. A month ago, I sat here and thought that the Catamounts were on their way to 15-1, 16-0. I predicted them at 15-1. I thought they'd lose one game over the course of the regular season in the league. They've lost two. So a month ago, I thought they were going for 15-1, and they were winning every game. You know, you look up, and it's 71-43, 84-57. I mean, they're winning games by 20, 25, 30 points. They're doing exactly what they should do to bottom-feeding teams in the league. And what have we seen over the last couple of weeks? Lose on the road at UMBC with a healthy Anthony Lamb. Win by 6 on the road at hapless Binghamton. Win by 6 at home against Stony Brook. And you led that game by 12 at half, and all of a sudden you were down 5 in the deep into the second half. You allowed a 17-point turnaround. It feels different. Again, I'm not saying UVM's going to lose. I'm not saying that they're going to choke or anything. I'm just saying that a month ago, UVM was taking care of business. They stepped on the floor. You knew who the better team was, and you knew that they were going to be relentless. And a 4-point lead was going to become a 9-point lead, which was going to turn into 14, 17, 21, and they were not looking back. Now, you question, are they going to get down early and have to come back? Are they going to get up big and let it slip away? Those are questions that have popped into my head over the last couple of weeks, because when you're playing 6-point games with Binghamton on the road and you're playing a 6-point game with Stony Brook in which you allowed a 17-point turnaround, that puts the antennas up for me. I still think they're the most talented team in the league. I still think that they're the best coached team in the league. I still think they have the most depth of anybody in the league. I still think they have the best player in the league in Anthony Lamb. But I don't feel that they are as much of a shoe-in to just roll through the conference tournament as I did a month ago. 802-655-6672. Anthony in Essex Junction says, really well said, Brady, talking about my rant to start the show. Appreciate that. What is the next step up from the America East? Unnamed texter asked. The Big East, the American Athletic Conference, I don't know if UVM is ready for that kind of competition. And we got Kevin Sweeney joining us here in a couple minutes after the break from College Basketball Central. Really, really in tune with what goes on all around college hoops, but especially at the mid-major and low-major level. So I'm going to ask him a question about moving up. But here's what I think, and I've said this all along. I don't think UVM is ready to move up, in part because of a lot of things. One, if you move up in men's basketball, you're going to have to move up in women's basketball. The UVM women's program is not ready to take that kind of step. And I think, and I'm not 1,000% sure on this, we've had some differing opinions on this. If you move up in one sport, you're going to move up in all sports. How many other UVM sports are ready to make that kind of jump? You're going to put the whole athletic department taking multiple steps back for the hope that UVM basketball will take a couple of steps forward. That just doesn't seem worth it. As far as UVM basketball itself goes, looking at just the minutiae of just the men's basketball program, when I looked at Gonzaga and I looked at Butler and I took those two teams that everyone compares as the Cinderella darlings and say, hey, they moved up. Well, Gonzaga didn't move up conferences, but they ramped up their budget. They ramped up their facility. Butler moved conferences. Valpo, VCU, they moved conferences. Wichita State. Those teams won the league year in and year out, and they made noise in the tournament. And they did it consistently. And they were a consistent threat to win in the conference, to win their conference tournament and then win in the NCAA tournament. And Gonzaga went like Sweet 16, Elite 8, Elite 8, Sweet 16 in 4 consecutive years. And then that's when they became Gonzaga. They didn't get to be Gonzaga based on a handful of good seasons. What UVM needs to do is they need to sustain this greatness for years at a time in the league. And they need to do it across multiple classes, across multiple recruiting classes. Because I saw this at Albany. I saw this recently at Albany. UAlbany won the league 3 straight years. They went to the NCAA tournament 3 straight years. And then you saw players graduate and a couple players transfer. And now UAlbany's looking at, I couldn't even tell you where they are in the conference standings right now. Probably sixth. Either fifth or sixth right now. Okay? They didn't move up. They shouldn't have moved up because that decimation of their program this year happened in the America East. Imagine if it was the Big East. I saw a Siena program win the MAC consistently for multiple years, beat Vanderbilt in an NCAA tournament, beat Ohio State the next year, get up as high as a 9 seed, and then all of a sudden finish in last place last year in the MAC. Get projected to finish last this year in the MAC. That's a turnaround that took 7-8 years. And now Siena is back at the bottom of, was back to being a bottom feeder of the league going into this year. They played well this year in the league, but they're not going to go win on a national level. They weren't ready to move up. You need sustained greatness. As for a league that I think UVM would actually fit in if they moved, it'd probably be the Atlantic 10. If you were willing to pony up the money to move over all your programs and pay the excess travel budgets that it would take to get you to Ohio, Pennsylvania consistently, to play a Dayton, to play a Davidson in North Carolina, that's probably the best fit. That's where other teams have gone and done well. Butler went there first before they went to the Big East. Davidson went there. I think they were in the SoCon before that. I think that's probably the most logical step up for UVM. I don't see them in the American. I don't see them in the Big East. But the Atlantic 10, they'd fit in. But are you willing to make that kind of financial investment? I don't know. Unnamed texter, UMBC. Oh, Stevie from Plattsburgh, Brady. I don't want to be unnamed texter anymore. Well, Stevie, we appreciate that. UMBC has their number. I still think UVM wins the conference tournament, but UMBC's coach, Ryan Odom, is no joke. He's a former Seth Greenberg assistant at Virginia Tech. I said that last week, and I'm going to talk with Kevin Sweeney about that, too, in a minute. I think that this is only good for the league. It's bad for UVM to have other teams get really good in the league. Like, it's bad for us as Catamount fans. It's good for the league as a whole, though. Because Will Brown, John Becker, Ryan Odom, you're creating three really good coaches there that have the potential to have three really good programs year in and year out. And you throw in Bill Herrien over at UNH, who's been there forever. Jeff Bowles at Stony Brook. Now you got four really good coaches. Harder and harder to win the league, but more credibility for the league as a whole, more battle-tested within the league when you get to a tournament-type setting. That's good for the league. I think UVM is more talented than UMBC. I think the fact that they've lost both games to them is pretty mind-boggling. I think that shows just how good Ryan Odom is. Because right now, I think UVM is far and away more talented than UMBC. UMBC beat Virginia last year in the NCAA tournament in March, obviously. Your recruiting classes for this year are already set. That win, I don't think, did anything for UMBC going into this year. It's going into next year and the subsequent year that you start to really see that win make a difference. So UMBC is only going to get better. I'm shocked that they're playing as well as they are this year, and that's a testament to Ryan Odom. More good coaches, harder to win for UVM. More good coaches in the league, harder to win for the Catamounts, but better for the league as a whole. Look, we'll continue to take your texts when we come back. We'll talk with Kevin Sweeney of College Basketball Central. This guy is impressive. You won't want to miss that. He's got all the answers on what he sees in the Catamounts. That's next. Cat's Den, 101.3 The Game.
Get your Catamount questions in now at 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. It's the Cat's Den with Brady Farkas on 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Cat's Den right here on 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. We are taking you up until 6:30, and then we'll have our pregame show for UVM, the senior night regular season finale as they take on UMass Lowell. So let's get right into it. Go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves a guy who knows maybe more about UVM basketball and mid-major basketball in general than anybody in the entire country. It's Kevin Sweeney from College Basketball Central. Kevin, how are you?
Doing pretty great. It's March, so I really couldn't be better. A little busy, but it comes with the territory, and that's better than being able to watch conference tournament games.
Well, we're looking forward to the America East Conference Tournament. UVM, for the third consecutive year, wins the league regular season title. They will be the number one seed in the upcoming tournament. How impressed are you by what UVM has done this year in the face of graduating so much talent?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed just by how well-coached and organized they've been. This is a younger team than John Becker's had in the last couple of years. I mean, you know, leaning on some freshmen to play bigger minutes, and obviously Anthony Lamb has taken the step we'd hope to see. Same with Ernie Duncan. Steph Smith's been big as well. But I think the biggest thing is they just don't beat themselves. You know, they don't turn the ball over. They make their free throws. They don't give up a lot of offensive rebounds. You know, doing those little things like that is just, you know, enough to win in a lot of leagues. And you know, John Becker just schools his guys so well in the little things like that that I think really makes a difference. I mean, and talking about a team that's lost to one team since the new year. I mean, they've lost to UMBC twice, but you know, otherwise they've been unblemished. So, I mean, just a super impressive job by John Becker. I think he's, you know, one of the more underrated coaches across college basketball.
You know, you watch mid-major basketball at a clip that of more than anybody that I know, at least. Where does Anthony Lamb compare when you talk about other mid-major stars?
I mean, he's right up there. He doesn't have maybe the dynamic scoring creator ability that, you know, Justin Wright Foreman, Chris Clemens, John Morant, obviously, would have. But you know, in terms of, you know, a four-man who can go get a bucket, he's definitely one of the top three or four power forwards, I think, in the mid-major landscape, just because, you know, he can play inside, he can play outside. He's blocking shots now, which is something he wasn't, you know, doing at as high of a rate last year. And he's playing stand on the floor. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, John Becker really had to limit his minutes at times, you know, keep him, you know, energized when he was in the game. And, you know, he's improved his condition for longer stretches, which is really big. But, yeah, he's a really special player because, you know, he can beat you in so many different ways.
Kevin, we talk about UMBC being the only team to beat UVM this season inside America East play. They've beaten them the last three times. And people up here are saying, hey, it's great we're the one seed, but what happens if we run into UMBC again? What is it that Ryan Odom does to UVM? Because, look, UMBC's had a good year this year, but they've lost plenty of games inside the league, but they don't lose to UVM. What does Ryan Odom do in those matchups?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy that it's happened like that, because UMBC, like, they've been better, especially late, but you know, Vermont's still the clearly better team. And obviously the first time, there's kind of an asterisk there because Anthony Lamb wasn't playing. But, I mean, UMBC's just been super efficient in both of those ball games, especially around the rim. I think Vermont has done a really good job this season of taking stuff away from two. They're one of the better two-point defenses in the country. And UMBC has just been super efficient around the rim, and that puts stressor on. And they've also locked down defensively. They kind of mix man and zone. That's one of the things Ryan Odom really likes to do, is, you know, show different looks. I think that confused Vermont at times. And so, I mean, obviously John Becker will watch all that tape and try to digest it in case they have to play him again. But, I mean, there's no reason why Vermont can't beat UMBC, but, and obviously there's always that saying, oh, it's really hard to beat a team three times, but you know, I think UMBC is a really well-coached team, and that can put pressure on anyone.
Kevin Sweeney, CBB Central. You can follow him, CBB_Central on Twitter. He's a great follow. He's here with us on the Cats 10, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. You've been following America East basketball specifically for a number of years, given because this is the area of the country you're from originally. When we talk about John Becker, when we talk about Will Brown, when we talk about Ryan Odom, the coaching in this league continues to get better and better. And overall, that can only be good for the conference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also throw Jeff Bolts in the mix as well. It's Stony Brook, who's done a really nice job this year. I mean, the big thing with this league has always been how top-heavy it's been. You know, Vermont, Stony Brook when they had Steve Peichel, and then Albany with Will Brown, you know, could dominate the league year in and year out. And so now that you have UMBC with Ryan Odom, you know, hopefully he's there for the long haul, and they can build into a program that's consistently up there. And then, you know, maybe one or two more of these programs takes the next step. And you start to talk about a conference that typically gets, you know, a 14, 15 seed in the NCAA tournament, maybe sneaking onto that 13 line more often, where those upsets can happen. So, it's always good to have depth in your league. Might make it a little more difficult to run through the conference the way that Vermont has the last several years, but it's always helpful to have a league where not every loss would be a destroyer for your resume. It also just makes you more battle tested for March. And so, definitely a good thing for the league that they're hiring better coaches.
There's a huge debate that goes on in our area, and I would say it's completely split down the middle. Half the Vermont fans want the team to stay in the America East forever and dominate it forever and have a chance to go to the tournament every year. The other half of fans are tired of seeing, you know, 4-18 New Hampshire come to town and want to see the team jump ship to a bigger conference. Do you see fan bases across the country also clamoring for their mid-major team to move conferences, or is this an isolated thing only in our fan base?
Oh, I mean, it's a constant thing that everyone wants, because you know, everyone wants, if you're in, you know, low major land, like you might call the America East, you want to get up to mid-major land where you're in one of the better, you know, one-bid leagues in the country. If you're in one of the better one-bid leagues, you want to move up to a league that can get two or three bids, like Valpo did going from the Horizon to the Missouri Valley a couple of years ago. If you're in one of those Missouri Valley Mountain West type leagues, you're clamoring for that Power 5 spot, because with that comes more money and more fame and more chances to get into the dance. I mean, everybody wants to move up. It doesn't always make sense to move up, because you just have to find the level that's best. You know, Vermont is not spending a ton on basketball right now. It doesn't make sense to move into a conference where your budget's going to be one of the bottom few in the league. It just becomes so much tougher to win. And so, I mean, if you're going to be fully committed and have the facilities and have the, you know, the commitment top down, then you absolutely look to move up and see what options you have. Obviously, Vermont not being a football school does limit that somewhat, but I think they could probably find a spot a little higher than they're in right now. But obviously, if you're not going to be fully in, I think staying at the America East and continuing to be in control makes a ton of sense.
You talk about facilities. Well, UVM is getting a facilities upgrade. It's going to be, hopefully, for two basketball seasons from now, we're going to have a brand new event center that's going to house men and women's basketball. So the Cats are going to take that next leap when it comes to facilities. As you look at some of the top low and mid-major programs around the country, how many of them are playing in elite-level facilities that are maybe better than everyone else in their conference?
I mean, it definitely depends on the league, but it's definitely a huge benefit to have not only a nice gym, but also to have the practice facility. I think that's the big thing where everyone's going. And the mid-majors that are showing commitment to winning at the top of conferences are building these practice facilities. I know Siena has one. A lot of the A-10 schools are building them. And so those are the things you can really sell recruits on, because you can sit here and say, here's a gym that you have 24-hour access to that's just for you and maybe the women's basketball team too. Whereas, you know, a lot of these schools are sharing it with, oh, we got to flip it for hockey, or we have to have volleyball out here to practice. We've got baseball might be in here because it's cold up here in the Northeast, you know, things like that. So to have a space where you can play and go work on your game all the time is a huge recruiting sell. Obviously, a great arena is big, and it helps, you know, build the fan experience. It helps recruiting, certainly. But I think, you know, the practice facility is still a really big thing right now in college basketball.
Kevin Sweeney from CBB Central. You can follow him on Twitter at CBB_Central. A great follow. He's here with us on the Cats 10 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com. I kind of buried the lead in all this because I wanted our audience to be impressed by you. They're going to be even more impressed when I tell them that you are in college currently, a student at Northwestern, and you're dropping the knowledge here. How do you have time to watch all this basketball? I mean, I thought Northwestern was a pretty rigorous academic schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough sometimes to balance it. I spend a lot of nights with my iPad next to me with a game on, sitting in front of my computer, you know, writing a paper or doing something like that. But, you know, it's something that I just, you know, love doing, love watching hoops, and, you know, find the time. And so, you know, whether it's, you know, taking a Saturday that I might have spent, you know, lounging around and going down to Loyola on Saturday and going to see a conference championship game type atmosphere that was pretty awesome, or, you know, just getting to, you know, watch games that are huge and get to tweet about them and, you know, connect with a lot of people. It's the thing I have a lot of fun doing, and, you know, hopefully it can become more of a full-time job in the future where I don't have to be doing all the schoolwork. But we got to put in the time first, and so always a lot of fun.
Kevin, I'll let you out of here on this. If I'm remembering correctly, you actually went to the same high school as UVM freshman Isaiah Maul. He's had an interesting year. A lot of expectations on him to kind of be the next Anthony Lamb, because they kind of resemble each other in their game and physically when Lamb came in as a freshman. And Isaiah's had some really, really good games, you know, 18 points here, 19 points there. He's had some other games where he's been non-existent on the offensive end, and he struggled to shoot the three ball. Have you been surprised by his freshman season?
Yeah, so I went to his rival high school. I was at Shaker. He was at Colony. And, you know, I'm a little surprised that he's taking as many threes as he is. And I didn't really see that as his game coming in. I thought he was more of a guy who could play inside the way Lamb did. And so it's not super surprising to me that he's been up and down. It's tough for a lot of freshmen in college basketball. And he's had some bright moments. I think, you know, from what I've seen, I have no doubt that he can be a starting-level player in this league going forward. But it's always really tough to come in as a freshman, especially, you know, Section 2 is a good conference in high school basketball. It's a good place to play, but it's not prep school. He's not quite as battle tested. He didn't play on like the City Rocks team that goes and plays UIBL against the best players in the country. So there's a little bit more of an adjustment period for him because he hasn't played at such a high level in high school and AAU ball. So I think he'll be fine, but yeah, certainly up and down freshman season for Isaiah.
Kevin Sweeney, we appreciate the time, man, as always. Get the schoolwork done and get it done sooner rather than later so we can get more basketball coverage from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course, Kevin Sweeney, CBB underscore Central. Seriously, it's very impressive what he does. I purposely buried the lead about him being in college. It's hard to believe that he is in college right now and has that depth of knowledge to it, given all the schoolwork requirements that you have, dropping the knowledge on where Anthony Lamb ranks, because he watches everybody. So where Anthony Lamb ranks kind of around the mid-major landscape of the entire country when it comes to top players. Also talking about Isaiah Moles' development, as well as the coaching that we talked about in the coaching development that we spoke about in the league in the first half of the show. Remember, 802-655-6672 is the number. We go up until 640 tonight. We do have that special time that we start the pregame show today because it is senior night. Ernie Duncan, Samuel Dingba being honored tonight. 102 wins and counting. That's the key point, and counting. The winningest class in UVM history. Town Fair Terrace text line open. Dougie in Burlington is asking me a ton of questions about baseball. I'm going to ignore that for now and respond to him off air. If you want to talk Catamounts, we'll get to you again, 802-655-6672. You know, we talk about Isaiah Moles with Kevin Sweeney playing in the Albany area. If you are a basketball fan in our area, I urge you tomorrow to do this. 7:15 tomorrow at Plattsburgh State, there is going to be a high school basketball playoff game between Plattsburgh High School and Glens Falls High School. At Glens Falls High School, there is a player by the name of Joseph Girard III. If you are in New York, you might know about Girard. If you're in Vermont, you might not know about Girard. All of you should go to Plattsburgh tomorrow. And then save a seat, because I'd like to go to Plattsburgh tomorrow to see this. Joe Girard III is a player who plays at the same high school as Jimmer Fredette. Remember, National Player of the Year at BYU, drafted in the first round by, I think he was really drafted by Milwaukee, but was immediately traded to Sacramento. Played on those early Kings teams with Isaiah Thomas, who was taken in the same draft as Jimmer Fredette. And Jimmer Mania swept the country, and Jimmer played at Glens Falls High School. And Joe Girard III now has obliterated all of his scoring records. He is the leading scorer in New York State basketball history. It doesn't matter if you're talking about New York City schools. It doesn't matter if you're talking about Stephon Marbury, Sebastian Telfair, Lance Stevenson. It doesn't matter if you're talking about kids from any New York State public high school. He's got them all. He's got over 3,000 points. He's probably trending towards 4,000 at this point. He scored 66 in a playoff game a couple weeks ago. I think he scored 52 in the Section 2 final just last weekend. He's going to be playing tomorrow at Plattsburgh State against Plattsburgh High School. You're going to want to see this. I have not seen Joe Girard III play in person. I would love to. I'm going to try my best. 7:15 is when that game is being tipped off. I'd get there a little bit early. Joe Girard III definitely has a following. Again, he's averaging more. Last year he was the leading scorer in all of high school basketball for the entire country. He averaged 50 points a game last year in high school basketball, and the most in the entire country. I don't know what he scores tomorrow, but wouldn't you want to be there to see it when a kid that can shoot this well? He shoots the three well. In that 66-point game, I think he had 8 threes. He was 24 of 25 at the foul line. 24 of 25 at the foul line. You don't see high school kids get to the line that much. He gets to the line, and he hits. He's going to be playing his college basketball next year at Syracuse University. He had an offer from Vermont for you Catamount fans. UVM offered him early, and then he blew way past UVM and everybody else in the America East. He had offers from Duke. He had offers from Boston College. He had offers from Syracuse, and he ends up choosing the Orange. Remember, the Brady and the Bunch podcast has officially launched. You can find it always on 1013thegame.com. You can find it on our social media channels, 101.3 The Game on Facebook or on Twitter at 1013 The Game. But now I'm very excited to tell you officially that you can subscribe to the Brady and the Bunch podcast on the Apple Podcast app, wherever you get your podcasts. Brady and the Bunch, you can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify. So we do it every Tuesday and Thursday. Take a new listener every single time and let them be kind of my guest / my co-host. We talk about sports. We have some fun. You guys in the Champlain Valley, it doesn't matter if you're in the Burlington side. It doesn't matter if you're in the Plattsburgh side. You have interesting stories to tell. You lead interesting lives. I want to hear them. Our listeners want to hear them. The community that we're building on this is something I'm pretty proud of and something that I'm excited about. So go ahead and subscribe to it. And let me know your feedback always. Our interview with Pat from Essex, New York, or Essex, Vermont, rather, dropped today. Fascinating stuff. It's online in all the places that I just mentioned. Catamount basketball is coming up next. UVM at home for the final time of the regular season, taking on the Riverhawks of UMass Lowell. Catamounts have already wrapped up the America East regular season championship. They've already locked up the number one seed in the conference tournament. It is senior night. Thank Ernie Duncan. Thank Samuel Dingwa for their contributions. The winningest class in Catamount history. The pregame show with Jake Marsh is next. This has been the Cats Den on 101.3 The Game.